Thursday, January 12th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, a number of media outlets reported last week by a vote of 3-2, the South Carolina Supreme Court has struck down the state's Fetal Heartbeat Act, the law which Governor Henry McMaster signed into law in 2021. According to Fox News, writing for the majority, Justice Kay Hearn wrote, "We hold that the decision to terminate a pregnancy rests upon the utmost personal and private considerations imaginable and implicates a woman's right to privacy. While this right is not absolute and must be balanced against the state's interest in protecting unborn life, this act, which severely limits and in many instances completely forecloses abortion, is an unreasonable restriction upon a woman's right to privacy and is therefore unconstitutional." Alex McGill Johnson, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Federation, called the ruling a win for freedom. She also stated, "Reproductive health care, including abortion, is a fundamental right that should never be subject to the whims of power-hungry politicians. Planned Parenthood will keep working day by day and state by state to safeguard that right for all people, and we won't stop until everyone can access the essential health care they need and deserve."
South Carolina has been a leading state on the protection of preborn life. They do have in place a law that protects life in the womb at 20 weeks. This law that has been proposed would go back to 6 weeks. Now, the question arises, how far should it be pushed back? Well, that's simple for someone who has a biblical world and life view. You push back the principle of the protection of life to the beginning of life. And when does life begin? Well, scientifically and biblically, it is affirmed that life begins at conception. The only thing that's going to be added to that conception is growth. So when we have a constitution that declares our nation will protect life, it protects all human life in the courts of justice, and the child in the womb is an innocent life. The recent Dobbs decision that exposed the constitutional fabrication of the infamous Roe v. Wade decision has now pushed the battle back to the states. If any people committed to the protection of life thought that the culture of death and its advocates were going to disappear, well, you're sadly mistaken and were rather naive. The culture of death and darkness will always strike back with a vengeance. And so it has. It's doing so in two ways. One way we're going to talk about next week in terms of the federal government's effort to codify and resource abortions in multiple ways. But this way is now the state-by-state battles. And you see the battles coming to traditionally pro-life states such as Kentucky and Kansas and South Carolina. And the news at this point is not very good because of decisions such as the state Supreme Court decision. Tom, it might be good for us to refer back to that statement that the six-week law was an undue invasion upon the woman's right to privacy because it does not give her the time for the decision that she needs to make a decision concerning the pregnancy. Again, we find this euphemism, well, I'm pregnant, now what is my health care decision? Well, your health care decision is to start nurturing the baby. And to be healthy, that's your health care decision. Health care decision does not include, I have the right to privacy to decide if this child is now going to live or am I going to put it to death, assisted by a prostituted medical community that wants to make money off of this death culture. That somehow that is a valid decision of privacy. Unlike our Constitution, which has no right to privacy, the South Carolina state decision does have, in Article 1, a statement that was added in the 1970s concerning a right to privacy. But the context is clear that undue searches are not allowed of an individual or an individual's possessions without a warrant, and therefore the right to privacy that is prohibiting undue searches. Now, three justices have said, No, this includes also the right to privacy means that they have the liberty to kill a child if the child is unwanted, inconvenient, or imperfect. Another justice in the dissenting opinion pointed out, the right to privacy means that there is a right to terminate the life of a child in a womb. Well, what about the right to privacy to take drugs? What about the right to privacy in terms of child abuse? I can just hear people out there, well, Harry, nobody's talking about child abuse. You're not? Well, what are you doing to the child in the womb when you take their life? Is there a more drastic, defenseless child than the one in the womb? Well, we're not talking just about abuse. We're talking about terminating your life. Why? Because we have a private decision. And that private decision is your life is not worth living because it's inconvenient. This ripping out the statement of privacy out of its context in the South Carolina State Constitution is one that basically has now opened the door to the privacy of what about three wives? What about drug abuse? What about prostitution? What about the gambling mafia? There's a private decision. And so, in other words, the state has the right to bring law codes with criminal consequences. Why? To protect life. There is the basic unalienable rights. Nowhere do our Constitution say we have the unalienable right to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And by the way, we also have a right to kill the unwanted child in the womb, if we can call it health care. When your parents get old and they get to be a problem, do you have the private right to remove their life because they're not wanted anymore? They're now imperfect. They're now inconvenient. Why not take out your parents? There is no logical or ethical framework to accommodate so-called privacy privilege of the right to kill a baby. It's just that simple. That's why legislation to protect life is crucial. I do hope and pray that this decision will be appealed to get to some court of sensibility, and I pray that those pro-life legislators do not back up in their commitment to protect life as this obstacle has now been put before them. Tom, what this is saying is when you call abortion health care, pregnancy is a disease to be treated. A child is a pestilence to be eliminated unless that pestilence is wanted and you want to make the pestilence your pet. The battlefield for life has now been moved to the state. We see the full-out assault of insanity, absurdity, lethality, all to accommodate sexual anarchy and the financial profitability that is rooted in the culture of death. It's no wonder that Planned Parenthood came out with ringing shouts of victory on this decision. That's their number one moneymaker. This deconstruction of culture, the only ultimate answer is a return to sanity and clarity and integrity. The only way you get back there is for the moving power of the gospel of grace in the hearts of men and women. Tom, there's a side note to this that I just simply want to mention in terms of Christians being engaged in the public square, not only in gospel proclamation, but in bringing public theology in common grace to restrain such evils as we're talking about today. Tom, one of the things that happened in the 1960s and 70s, there were liberals who saw where liberalism was leading, and they began to rethink things. Out of that came a conservative movement speaking to the issues of the day. Some of them went into office, some of them went into law, some of them went into the judicatories, in which they attempt to bring the sanity of the culture of life. The Bible calls that, in terms of a Christian engagement, salt and light. But the Christian can't be salt and light unless the church does its job of making disciples who can think biblically and live intentionally out of love to Christ.
As we close out for today, let me remind you that tomorrow is Friday and we return to our Ask the Pastor feature. This is your opportunity to join us by sending us your questions. Questions related to what do the scriptures mean in a particular verse or passage, and also questions concerning the issues of life and how the scriptures address those issues. Write to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. We'll do stop in again tomorrow, Friday. We continue our conversation as we apply a biblical worldview. to put the issues of today in perspective.